Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the BT Powerhouse podcast. My name is Thomas Bendit. I'm the manager of BT Powerhouse. Exciting time. I know I've said that for the last few podcasts, but we really are getting into the money time, so to speak, of the college basketball season. Most of the teams have a week and a half left before conference tournaments. Certainly, at least in the Big Ten, the mid-majors will be getting into their conference tournaments coming up very shortly. It's crazy how soon that's actually coming up for college basketball. But Big Ten has about a week and a half from now before the regular season's done, and we look forward to the Big Ten tournament. But still plenty to play for pretty much from top to bottom. Everybody obviously fighting for positioning in the standings, seeding in the Big Ten tournament, and then really eight teams in the Big Ten. And in my opinion, I actually think nine teams have some type of shot at an at-large NCAA tournament bid. At-large, because obviously everyone has a shot if they win the Big Ten tournament. But I actually think there are nine teams that are somehow in contention with a week and a half left of regular season action. So that's crazy. So I mean, you have that. So you have nine teams battling for that. Some of them are long shots, but whatever, nine teams. You have five teams that are probably locked into the NCAA tournament at this point, at least three or four now that would at least get an NIT bid, I would think. And then you have three teams, I guess five. Sorry, five teams that have some type of shot still to win the Big Ten title. After tonight's games, that'll start dwindling down. Really, there are three teams that I think have a serious shot, those being Indiana, Iowa, and Maryland. But I think, technically speaking, there are still five teams that have some shot to get at least a share of the title, I should say. But those being Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, Ohio State, Michigan State, and Wisconsin. So I guess, six teams, I think, have a technical shot, a mathematical chance to win the Big Ten, or at least get a share of it. And I would say, really, realistically, it's down to three at this point. But again, you never know how things are going to shake out. Michigan State's sitting there with five Big Ten losses, but they've been playing lights out the last couple weeks, so maybe they could make some noise there. But the moral of the story, I guess, so to speak, is it's a really exciting time. Every game is so significant right now. It could very well be the difference between somebody making or missing the tournament. It could be the difference between winning or losing the Big Ten. It could be the difference between playing on the first day of the Big Ten tournament or not. Just every game has significance, which makes it an exciting time, makes it a stressful time. If you're like me, a fan of a bubble team, it's a stressful time. One loss could be massive in terms of your chances to make the tournament. But I think things really are setting up to be an epic last week and a half or so. Before we jump into that, though, I did a Periscope over the weekend. If you are on Periscope or you're not, definitely check me out on there at TBendit. I like to do some post-game stuff here and there. Trying to do it more regularly. Sometimes it's a little annoying, but did one on some of the weekend's games. But obviously a huge weekend for the conference. That Indiana-Purdue showdown on Saturday night was awesome. Wisconsin-Illinois battled on Sunday night. You had Michigan and Maryland in a really, really exciting, well-played game for its duration. Ohio State-Nebraska went to overtime on Saturday. It was really from top to bottom. It was a really fun weekend to play. I thought overall the games were pretty well played. Really all of them were pretty close. The Illinois-Wisconsin game was probably the most spread out, but even in that game, Wisconsin got down big, ends up coming back. The big takeaway I would say of the weekend is first off, Indiana's going to be in this title race. And we are having Alex McCarthy on here in a few minutes from 247 Sports to chat about Indiana and their Big Ten title hopes. But I would say Indiana's definitely in this thing. And the other thing is, I really think the conference is setting up to get seven teams into the postseason. Still some very important games here over the next week and a half, and really through the Big Ten tournament to decide who may get in. But I think it's going to be a big again, a lot of pressure, but I do think seven teams are going to get in. As I mentioned, I think the Big Ten has some shot at nine teams, more realistically eight, but I do think the Big Ten is going to get seven teams in there. But with no further wait, why don't we jump into the title discussion here, the discussion of some of the top teams. We have Alex McCarthy on from 247. Alex, how's it going?
Not too bad, man. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Obviously, a huge weekend over in Bloomington, topped off by the big rivalry win over Purdue. What were your reactions? Why don't you tell our listeners who didn't get a chance to go out there, what was the atmosphere like? What was the buildup like? And what were some of your reactions to the outcome, obviously?
Yeah, it was as good as an atmosphere as there's been in a long time. I mean, when the week before when Iowa came into town and they were obviously ranked in the top five, that was very loud and people were into it. But there wasn't exactly the kind of early buzz that there was for the Purdue game. I mean, there were people lined up all day. People got there at like 8 a.m. I knew a lot of people who got there at like noon, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock for the 8:30 tip-off. And they were in there immediately, got to their seats an hour and a half before the game. They were loud. They were organized cheers, which is something that's usually pretty much reserved for only for rivalry games. I mean, you go back to or the game a couple years ago when IU hosted College Game Day, when Michigan came into town, Michigan was number one, IU was number three. It was probably as good an atmosphere as there was since then. And it was with a building as old and kind of crappy as Assembly Hall is, it's kind of scary when the place is shaking around you. But for the guys on the court, obviously that provides them a big boost, and that is just a huge intimidation factor for the other team and coach. And it was. I think a fairly big reason for Indiana being able to win that game. And with the game itself, in terms of just takeaways from that, I mean, it was Indiana pretty much dominated a good portion of that game. And then in the last 6 minutes or so, Purdue started hitting threes, and it got down all the way down to 2 points in the last 30 seconds or 37 seconds or whatever it was there. But Indiana, was able to hold on, stay undefeated at home. It's their best start ever. At Assembly Hall, they're 16-0, and it more than anything just continued to prove to me that they're pretty much unbeatable at home. I mean, this season literally they've not been able to have been beaten at home. So it just makes that Maryland game to end the season look all that much more winnable for Indiana, which would be pretty big for Indiana's title hopes and closing out the season strong.
Mm-hmm. And, before we move on, I guess, to the last couple of games here for Indiana, getting back to the Purdue game, Purdue's obviously beaten up on them a little bit over the last couple of years. Boilermaker, I forget what it was, like a 1,000-day streak or whatever without losing to Indiana, whatever the thing was. But, first rivalry win in a while. What are the impressions to fans who aren't part of this rivalry, I guess? How big is this rivalry? What do you think its significance is, locally, nationally, and is this a start of a new trend? Is Indiana going to start running over Purdue, I guess, over the next couple of years?
Yeah, that's the kind of weird thing about this rivalry is, like, it doesn't seem to be a whole lot of back and forth. It's either one team has a really good, 3 or 4 year stretch, and then the other team has a good 3 or 4 year stretch, and they kind of go back and forth. You don't see them trading, splitting the season series very much. In the past decade or so, where it's just Purdue dominated for a while, like you said, and before that it was a couple years of Indiana being really good and being able to beat Purdue. So this was one of the reasons this game was so fun and people were looking forward to it so much is that both teams were ranked, and it's the first time in 7 years that that's happened, that that Indiana and Purdue have met. And so that, I think that kind of takes away from the rivalry when one team is ranked and the other team is not, and one team is kind of having a good year and one team is having an off year. So I think this game really kind of showed us what the Indiana-Purdue rivalry can be. And I hope it stays this way. I hope both teams stay top 25, top 20, whatever, just so these games are a little more interesting. And I hope the Big Ten does something to fix the scheduling, because this is the only time that Indiana and Purdue played this year, which is ludicrous. I mean, it's why would you want Michigan and Michigan State playing only one time a year? Why would you want any of these rivalry games only to happen once a year? So I think this is a rivalry that can be great. I mean, we saw what it was like in the Bob Knight, Gene Katie days, but it's really kind of lost a little bit of its luster here in the past, I don't know, 15 or 20 years, just because the two teams have not really been matched up very well for a while. But it definitely has the potential to be one of the better rivalries in college sports, but at least in college basketball. But the one that people really miss, especially around here in Indiana, in Bloomington, is Indiana-Kentucky, because Indiana-Purdue, there's a lot of history there. They're in the same conference. They're in the same state. They compete for a lot of the same fans and a lot of the same recruits and things like that. But there's just a next level of hatred that goes into Indiana-Kentucky. They just – those atmospheres were almost violent in how much Indiana wanted to beat Kentucky and how much Kentucky wants to beat Indiana. And you just don't see – quite that level of, I don't want to say like anger, but you just don't see that level of intensity maybe for an Indiana-Purdue game. And Purdue despises Indiana. I mean, you see them chant IU sucks at every sporting event that they have, whether they're playing IU or not. It's just that kind of little brother syndrome is fascinating to me. But Indiana, IU fans are not as invested in this rivalry as Purdue fans are, and maybe if Purdue is able to hold on to some of its success, if these games get a little bit more competitive, maybe this rivalry will kind of get back to where it was in the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in terms of the rivalry, how you're describing it reminds me a little bit, as a diehard Michigan guy myself, a little bit of the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry, where in terms of football, where Michigan-Ohio State is the big one. But it's kind of second tier, but it still has a lot of fire and is obviously huge for the state. But moving on, though, I think you bring up a good point, and it's something I wanted to get to briefly. With the rivalry games kind of taking place over the last week or two, I just don't get this Big Ten scheduling hang up on just having this rotating schedule where the rivalries are just. They're essentially just normal games, in the Big Ten scheduling eyes. Do you think there's a fix for that? Do you think it's just something we have to deal with now that there are 14 teams? Or what are your thoughts on that, I guess? Especially, coming from the Indiana perspective where you have this huge basketball rivalry.
Yeah, I think it's terrible. I think it's a tragedy that these rivalries aren't able to be protected, because I've always really, really enjoyed – going to Mackey Arena to cover IU Purdue games, because, like I said, I mean, they just I grew up in Michigan and I grew up around that Michigan-Michigan State rivalry, and it is to me very similar to when Michigan State wasn't that good at football, and there's the whole Mike Hart little brother kind of thing, and I just love going to Mackey Arena and seeing those, because they want to beat IU so bad. They wake up every day of every year wanting to beat IU at something, and it's just really frustrating and tragic that Indiana and Purdue weren't able to. Maybe tragic is a little extreme, but it's just very frustrating that they weren't able to play two games. And I don't know why the Big Ten office can't figure out some way to protect these rivalries. With the expansion, with TV stuff, with just contractual kind of things, it seems like their hands are tied a little bit. But I think fans and teams, players, coaches, everybody would really appreciate some kind of way to ensure that these rivalries remain home and home instead of just playing one game a year.
Yeah, I completely agree. And my thing is like, historically speaking, if you have Indiana and Purdue, you make them play, you make Michigan State play, teams like that, in theory, considering that, how do I want to put this, teams like Rutgers, Nebraska, Penn State, they don't have the strong rivalries. I guess Maryland and Penn State is starting to come along. But and they've sort of been some of the bottom dwellers, historically speaking. So I guess it would be tougher. But for me, that it's worth potentially taking an extra loss when, you're getting the conference and the national conference. Like, people want to watch Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, mm-hmm. Indiana, Purdue. You know, they don't want to watch Indiana travel to Rutgers on a Tuesday night. To me, it's a long-term idea where, you're going to lose out here and there. Purdue misses the tournament one year because they had to face Indiana on the road. But to me, it's worth it for the exposure. I know the SEC already, they do protect their rivalries. And I know the SEC basketball isn't necessarily the best comparison for what you want to be. But I think the Big Ten seriously needs to look at that with how things are shaken out. But with that, why don't we jump back to Indiana here? Clearly, a lot to play for. They've been playing really well. They've lost three conference games. They've lost three games since early December. They're right in the heart of this thing. But their final three games here are the regular season. They're on the road at Illinois, on the road at Iowa, and then Maryland at home. The first thing that pops out, at least to me, is the Illinois game, sandwiched between the rival Purdue game and the Iowa road game, and it's also on the road. Is this going to be a trap game for the Hoosiers?
If Illinois were healthier and a little bit better, I think it totally could be, because, quite frankly, Indiana beat Illinois by 34 at home earlier this year. But we saw what happened, a couple weeks ago with Indiana had that big win at Michigan, and then they went to Penn State right before playing at home against Iowa, and they totally laid an egg at Penn State. So it totally could happen again. It's something that has not necessarily become a trademark these past few years for Indiana, but it seems like they always kind of leave you shaking your head at one of these road losses. And I think maybe Indiana got it out of its system against Penn State. Maybe that was their one really bad road loss in the Big Ten. But, this is – Indiana really, really has an opportunity to grab control of this Big Ten title race in these next two games. If they can beat Illinois and then obviously the huge game against Iowa. But, they need to not overlook Illinois because, Illinois, what are they, 4-10 in conference play? They're not very threatening, so it's easy to kind of overlook them. And they haven't been healthy in the past couple of years. Really, they really haven't been themselves. So, but then again, Indiana might not be fully healthy going into this game as well because sophomore guard Rob Johnson sprained his ankle the other night against Purdue, and that comes a couple months after James Blackman Jr. hurts his knee and is out for the season. So that totally kills your backcourt depth there. And Rob Johnson is, he's averaging, I think, like 8 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, something like that. But his biggest value comes on the defensive end where he's been able to really shut guys down on the perimeter or at least limit guys on the perimeter. And he's been a big part of Indiana's defensive improvements, like you said, since early December, when they've only lost three games since then. So that's a big loss for them if he can't go. I guess I'm kind of assuming that he's not going to be able to go, but if he can't go or if he's not 100%, Indiana might have a little bit of trouble containing Illinois on the perimeter or containing anybody on the perimeter. So that would be my one major concern for IU going into this game is and you're going to have to continue to play Yogi Ferrell like 38 minutes a night, which is just going to wear him out. Maybe it already has worn him out a little bit, but this is certainly not going to help. So long answer to your question, but it totally could be a trap game for Indiana. That would be a very kind of cliche Indiana thing to do after these past couple of years. It's, they just seem to have one of those losses late in the season that really, where they have a chance to really put themselves in a good position for something and then fall short. So I'm very intrigued by this Illinois game.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead here, but you know, obviously that next that next game after Illinois, Indiana travels to Iowa City on Tuesday. You know, Iowa has a couple of big games here over the next couple of days,
mm-hmm.
but you know, assuming Iowa takes care of Wisconsin, takes care of their business before Indiana, and Indiana does avoid the trap. They beat Illinois here. It looks like it's the Big Ten title game, so to speak. Can Indiana go on the road? They haven't necessarily been the greatest on the road this year. They did get that Michigan, sort of blowout beatdown. But outside of that, they really haven't beat many great teams on the road this year. Do you think they have a chance in that game, or is Iowa going to be too much?
Like you said, they really haven't, other than that Michigan game, they just haven't looked very good on the road. I mean, their wins have come, at Rutgers, at Nebraska, at Minnesota. I mean, they're really not beating the top of the Big Ten. That's kind of, looking at the schedule beforehand, I think we talked about this on the podcast a while ago, just looking at the way that Indiana's conference schedule is shaped up, they really haven't had to prove themselves very much on the road in the Big Ten. I mean, they lost at Wisconsin. They went to overtime with them. But they just really did not look very good at all against Penn State or Michigan State in either of those road losses. So, logically, Iowa is probably going to win that game just because they're deep, they're experienced, they're a very, very good team, obviously. And Indiana just doesn't seem to really get itself going and get itself together on the road. And you kind of have to look at games at Assembly Hall with a little bit of a grain of salt or an asterisk or something, because it's just such a tough place to play. IU beat Iowa by 7 here at home, and it's a hard place to win. It's really hard to judge based on how they played in that game. So I think Iowa probably has the advantage in that game, but it's going to be interesting to see because Iowa doesn't have that easy of a schedule. Home against Wisconsin, you never really want to play with. I mean, Wisconsin's just a tough team to play anywhere, and then they go to Ohio State on Sunday. I think that's kind of a one of those kind of overlooked games. Ohio State's, I think, the hottest team in the Big Ten. They just won their 10th conference game. I think they won 4 in a row. It's not an easy road for Iowa, but I think looking at that game specifically, I think Iowa probably has the advantage there. And that, like I said, could be basically for the Big Ten Conference regular season title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think Iowa, you have to think they're the favorite, but as you said, Indiana has beaten Iowa already. So, you never know. But with that aside, I think at this point, it's pretty much, it's pretty easy to break down, how things are going to shake out, depending on who wins the next couple of games. But moving past that, obviously that, the Big Ten tournament, it's really hard to get a gauge on that, without knowing they're going to be sitting. Who's playing for what. But Indiana certainly looks like a lock to make the NCAA tournament at this point. Where they get seated is a question mark. How dangerous is this team in March? Because, they didn't necessarily have the best non-conference performance. They beat Creighton, but they kind of underwhelmed against everybody else. And now they seem to have improved despite some key injuries over the last couple of months. Is this a team that can make the Final Four? Is this a team that can win it all, or is this more of a first weekend, second weekend type of team?
Yeah, it's hard. It's always hard to get a read on Indiana just because they confound you, they confuse you. They have great performances one night, terrible performances the next. But they really haven't been great outside of Assembly Hall. And like you said, that non-conference schedule outside of Maui and Duke and maybe Creighton, I guess. There really just wasn't very much testing them until Notre Dame in mid-December. But they just, they're 6-6 away from Assembly Hall, road and neutral things. And they just haven't looked great in a lot of those games. And I think once they start playing, I think they can win a first-round matchup. I think they can maybe make it to the second weekend of the tournament. But I don't necessarily see this as a Elite Eight, Final Four team. I just, I don't know if they're consistent enough. I don't think they can exactly put in the same effort night after night after night, just because of the nature of a lot of the guys that they rely on. I mean, Troy Williams had a great week last week, co-Big Ten Player of the Week, but you know, before that he was 0-for-5 at Michigan State with like 3 turnovers and just couldn't do anything against a very good Michigan State team. So if you're going to be leaning on him, you never know which Troy you're going to get for that night. Yogi Ferrell has been really off in terms of shooting from the floor until that Purdue game the other night. So it seems like night after night, you don't exactly know what exactly you're going to get from Indiana. And Robert Johnson, who's one of their more consistent players, who knows how limited he's going to be if he plays in these next few games. So I wouldn't necessarily, I wouldn't count it out, of course. I mean, they can get hot. They can shoot. If guys start hitting shots, if Yogi Ferrell starts going crazy, if guys off the bench like Nick Seisloft and Colin Hartman and OG Anunoby are able to kind of get going from behind the arc and get going offensively, I think they can make a little bit of a run, but I just don't exactly see it out of this team. I think I see a lot of the signs that I've seen the past couple of years of them kind of flaming out in late February, early March, where it just looks like they're tired. It looks like they don't exactly have the legs that they had in January. They're just, for some reason, you know, these Tom Crean coach Indiana teams just don't have that kind of look that a Tom Izzo kind of Michigan State team has, where you're worried about them, I guess, in late February, early March. So I would say probably I could see them definitely getting to the second weekend. I can definitely see them getting to the Sweet 16, but I wouldn't call them a Final Four team probably at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and given that, as we mentioned, I know you're not a bracketology expert here, but how important is it, to potentially win the Big Ten, potentially to win the Big Ten tournament? Because clearly, that would bump them up, I would think, a couple spots at least. In March, how important is that, considering that, you don't necessarily think they're a, Elite Eight, Final Four, championship type team. Would that be enough, I guess, to push them deep?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, depending on the matchups, depending on everything like that, I mean, if they get like a 3 seed or something, that would immensely help their chances of advancing and being able to move on, because they played pretty well against, those kind of lower tier non-conference teams. And I guess those wouldn't really be equivalent to an NCAA tournament team, but still they do take care of their business, and they have so far. I mean, just looking at their games, they pretty much won all of the games that they are supposed to win. I mean, that Penn State game obviously is a disappointment. The Wake Forest game in Maui is a huge disappointment, but other than that, they've pretty much been able to win the games that you expect them to win, the games that they're favored in. So I think making a run, in these next couple games, winning the Big Ten regular season tournament, and then maybe winning a couple games in the Big Ten tournament, which they haven't done very much of in recent years, but making a little bit of a run here would not only kind of fuel them in terms of moving them up in a seeding sense, but it would also just kind of give them a little bit of momentum, give them a little bit of confidence, and they do well when they can have something to feed off of and when they have something to kind of rally around. So I think it's a huge next couple weeks for Indiana, not only just for possibly winning the Big Ten outright, but for their tournament chances and for their kind of setup and run up to the tournament.
Yeah, definitely. I'd agree. A big couple of weeks here for the Hoosiers, needless to say. Alex, we thank you for joining us here to chat some Indiana. What do you guys have going on over at 247?
Yeah, I mean, we're in the middle of a lot of things here. The 2017 football recruiting stuff is starting to heat up a little bit. IU actually just got a commitment from a 4-star Ohio running back, which is their highest rated commit in many, many years. So we'll see if they can hold on to him until signing day next year. But so that's something we're definitely following closely. And then the IU women's basketball team is on the cusp of its first NCAA tournament appearance in 14 years. So it's a huge couple weeks for them as well, as they're trying to battle and stay on the right side of the bubble there, and then baseball season is getting started. So it's there's a lot going on the site. But obviously, men's basketball is the focus right now. We will be covering these next few games, and we'll be at the Big Ten tournament. So it's gonna be a fun couple weeks for us.
Definitely. Well, Alex, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. As a quick reminder to everyone, that was Alex McCarthy for 247. He writes for their Indiana site over there. You know, as you mentioned, they really cover everything. They do a great job. I know for me, you know, I'm a big football fan. I was talking a little bit about it. Love 247. You know, their football recruiting stuff. So definitely check them out. And if you're an Indiana fan or just a Big Ten fan who's interested in Indiana, Alex does a great job over there for those guys. But with that's about all we have for today. I did want to touch briefly on a couple of these games here over the next couple of days. Michigan State and Ohio State is the big game tonight. I do like the Spartans in that one. I think Michigan State is just so hot right now. I think they're playing so well. I said this to someone else, I think on Sunday, but I you know, maybe Kansas, but outside of Kansas or Duke right now, I don't know if I'd take anyone over Michigan State on a neutral court, you know, today. You know, maybe that'll change, you know, by this evening, maybe that'll change by tomorrow. But I think the Spartans are playing so well right now. And Ohio State gets the game at home. They're certainly going to have a shot, you know, their season on the line, so to speak. But I do think Michigan State takes care of business. I think they move on, and ultimately, I think Michigan State's going to end up as the three seed, maybe a little bit higher, you know, three or four seed probably in the Big Ten tournament. And honestly, you know, I think they're going to have a great chance to win the Big Ten tournament. I think the Spartans could get a number one seed when all is said and done. But that's the big game tonight. You know, Minnesota and Rutgers also play. Not a ton on the line on that. If Rutgers does lose, they do have currently they've lost 29 games in a row against Big Ten teams. So certainly the Scarlet Knights do not want to move to 0-30 in their last 30 games against Big Ten teams. So one little tidbit to watch in that game. Tomorrow night, two big games for the Big Ten's bubble teams, Michigan, Northwestern in Ann Arbor. I think Michigan's going to edge out in that game, but a huge game, probably the most important game Michigan has for the rest of the year. They need to avoid a bad loss. At this point, I think losing to Northwestern at home would be considered a bad loss. They're well outside the top 100 in RPI. So I think that is that's a game Michigan desperately needs to win. Wisconsin at Iowa, you know, really an intriguing game. Iowa needs to win the game to stay in that Big Ten title hunt. Wisconsin, you know, is trying to continue its recent success on the road, trying to get another marquee win. You know, if Wisconsin wins that game, you have to think they're a pretty safe bet for the NCAA tournament. Iowa still has plenty of work to do to win the Big Ten, potentially get a one seed. But a lot on the line in those games. You know, plenty more on Thursday, a couple of intriguing games. And certainly even more over the weekend, you know, that Purdue and Maryland matchup, which is a BT Powerhouse game of the week on Saturday. So excited to watch that. But with that's about all we have for today. Again, I'm Thomas Bendit, manager of BT Powerhouse. You can check me out on Twitter at TBendit, TBEINDIT. And you can check out our site Twitter, which is BT Powerhouse. And as I mentioned, we have a lot of great stuff going on the site right now. Our other manager, co-manager Brian Stedman, posted a NCAA bracketology post. Definitely worth a read. We have the game of the week stuff right now, so worth checking out to say the least. But again, appreciate everyone checking us out, and we'll see you guys next time.